Good morning, Napa Valley. Lee W. Miller here with another edition of All Things Napa. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody, a day early. Thanksgiving Eve, if there is such a thing. Well, I guess technically there is. It's just probably not as commonly referred to as Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve. Okay, we've got a great show for you today. In the studio, my buddy, Cliff Kielhorn. I'll be introducing Cliff in just a little bit. Co-owner of K&J Moving, the local moving company. As you know, the whole purpose of this show is to promote local businesses and help them succeed and encourage our local community to do business locally. That's what we're all about. I am a serial networker, and I love to match clients with businesses and businesses with clients. And that is why I founded the business referral group, NapaBusinessAdvantage.com. Check that out. If you are a local business owner and want to enhance your business, we would be happy to have you come be a guest at one of our meetings. We only meet two times a month on the first and third Tuesdays, and come check us out. We're a fun group that is all of our members are passionate about referring business to one another and outside of that sphere as well. When I'm not behind this microphone, if you've listened to the show before, you know that I am a full-time realtor and a past president of the local chapter of North Bay Association of Realtors, and I'm also on the Vine Trail board. And now it is time for our Real Estate Minute. This show is not about real estate, but because that is my full-time occupation, I do spend 60 to 90 seconds in each show just talking a little bit about real estate. Usually it's on a local level, but this time it is on a much larger scale, nationally. And the source of this information is Investors Business Daily. The median age of first-time homebuyers jumped to 33 from July 2018 to June 2019, the oldest since the National Association of Realtors began keeping records back in 1981. Meanwhile, the median age of all home buyers rose to age 47, up from only 31 years old in 1981. That's probably not a big surprise given the increase in real estate costs compared to wages and salaries. That's probably not a big surprise. Let's hope that it tilts back the other way. Not necessarily for real estate values to go down, but let's hope that salaries and wages continue to increase at a rate that makes it even possible for someone to purchase real estate wherever they may be. All right. I am very happy to have my buddy Cliff in the studio today. I've known Cliff for a while, and he's a heck of a golfer, and he's a man who enjoys tequila, and he's an all-around good guy. Welcome to the show, Cliff.
Thanks, Lee. You're very kind. Well, appreciate being here.
That's what you told me to say, right?
Yes.
I read it verbatim.
The check is in the mail.
Yeah. So, Cliff, tell us a little bit about you and your affiliation with the beautiful Napa Valley.
Let's see. About 21 years ago, I moved to California. I was I was raised in Central Washington State. I went through a not very pleasant divorce. And my sisters had been begging me for years to move to California.
Yeah, there
you go.
I thought,
well, timing is right.
Right.
So I've been many things. And truck driver, cooked in a restaurant, built homes, been a sales manager, and now I'm the owner of K&J Moving.
Very cool. Well, it's not like you just moved here and boom, you became. So that's a great story of progression. But how long were you here before you became a co-owner of K&J Moving?
I was probably in the industry for about a year when the company that my business partner and I worked for, the owner of that company was driving it into the ground. And he ended up owing Pat and I a bunch of money.
Oh, wow.
So I called him up one day and said, show up tomorrow with all the money you owe us or we're going to take the company. And he said, draw up the paperwork. I don't have the money. So we literally started with Pat and I and one big tractor trailer.
Wow. Not even the box truck. You started with the big guy.
Yep. And we, it was kind of funny if you had a one-bedroom apartment and we showed up to move you. People would say, what'd you bring that for? We said, well, it's all we have.
That's a great story. As you know, my brother-in-law in Sacramento owned a moving company and went 15 years and tried to do everything by the book and pay workers' comp and not pay the guys under the table. He actually had benefits for the guys, and ultimately it cost him the business because everybody else in town, not literally everybody, but most of his competition were cutting corners and not doing it right, and he just couldn't compete anymore. So
I hear that a lot. And that's one of the big problems in our industry is we call them rogue movers.
Right.
They're either unlicensed or they're unethical.
Right.
And that gives the rest of us a bad name.
Right. Although it is an interesting industry, because I joined him for about a year as the general manager. And for a guy that's been in the corporate world and worn a suit, you know, for 35 years, that was quite interesting to get down and dirty with the guys and on the truck and doing the jobs. But I just couldn't believe how much damage that they caused and all of that stuff. That it really is a credit to you for running this company now for 20 years and still in business and have such a great reputation in the industry as well. Because it's hard to find good, reliable guys to work the trucks and have them show up and have them not break things. And, you know, like I say, hats off to you for managing those guys well.
Thank you. One of the things we try to impart on our employees is if you have to spend an extra 30 minutes over the estimated time to get the job done perfectly, all of your wages combined are still less than a claim.
And wow, that's a great way to look at it.
It's also a lot less of a bad referral.
Right.
So if you can, I don't mind you taking a little extra time because everybody's got that family heirloom piece.
Right. You know, and everyone, that's always the one that gets broken.
Because the guys are in a hurry.
Right.
And well, our guys, I've said, look, I don't ever want to see you run. I want you to work steady. And if the work has to stop for every man on the crew to help with a large piece, then stop the work, help with the large piece, make sure there's no damage.
See, that's common sense being incorporated into management. I hope Kim Brown Sims is listening because that, I don't know if that's her target, but you know, she's one of the sponsors and she has all these wonderful leadership traits and things that she teaches other people, but sounds like you need to possibly join her dream team of associates and maybe you can impart some of your management wisdom to some of the clients there. So I'll have to introduce you to Kim.
Thank you. I'm interested.
Yeah. All right, so obviously your occupation is moving and storage, so there's not a whole big mystery there. And I wouldn't assume that you were obviously from the time that you were 4 years old saying, I want to own a moving company. So all of the other stuff, the cook and the truck driver and everything kind of lended itself to your eventual career. But talk about a little bit more of that history and how things evolved into obviously, you're owed money and you get the company. That's a heck of an exit strategy for the other guy. So,
no, it's a long story with that guy. I'll skip that.
Okay.
One of my first jobs was working for a food distribution company, and I just worked my way all the way up from pushing a broom to working on the night crew, picking the orders, to loading the trucks, and then I got my first driving job with them, and I did that for a couple of years, and then there was an opening back in the town that I would prefer to live in at the time was Yakima, Washington, and I took that as a relief sales. So I went from the physical side of the job to the more suit and tie side of the job, and I moved on from that, and I went back into more physical type work. And then I landed a job with the Cellular One company out of Walla Walla, Washington. And I was back into the corporate world. And after all that was over, said and done, I took some time off. I moved to California. And I took a look at what I liked to do. And I always enjoyed physically working for my money. So I thought, well, when I go look for work, I'm going to look for a physical type job. So right. I applied at a couple construction companies and the moving company, and ended up going with the moving company and learning the business. And my business partner now has almost 50 years experience in the business. So I've learned quite a bit from him, and of course implemented my own stuff. That's how you do in the world of work, is you learn and you implement your own ideas. And so you make your style.
Right.
And here I am, 21 years later.
That's great. So there's all kinds of moving company stories, because we used to sit around telling all the different war stories. Tell us one of your more successful jobs, and then I'd like to hear a story about one of the disaster jobs, because they're far more frequent in the moving industry than they are in most other industries, from my experience.
Yeah, it can be good and bad in the business. One of our huge successes is, some of you may be familiar with the company, Juvenile Cork Plant. They were in American Canyon, and we got called to come out and give them an estimate, and we figured, okay, it's just an office estimate. And what they wanted was a company to take care of everything, not just their offices and system furniture, but also move all of their equipment. So we put a package together, and Pat and I worked on it for 2 or 3 days, and we ended up getting the bid, getting the job, and it took about a week to move them. And we're talking there, I don't know if you've ever been inside a cork plant, but they've got these huge hoppers. It looks like a big old erector set.
Oh, wow.
So we tore that down and moved it on flatbed trailers over to the new place. About the only thing we couldn't do was we had to hire a concrete company to do the anchors into the floor, because we don't deal with the acid and all that stuff. So, but other than that, we moved all of their equipment, all their offices, and we finished early and under budget.
That's great. You know, people don't realize how often your services are needed. They think buying, selling houses, somebody needs to move, but there are businesses, like you just said, and it is so much more than file cabinets, desks, and copy machines that need to be moved. And then there's carpet jobs, right? Somebody needs new carpet.
Yep, we're in the middle of one of those right now.
You got to move everything out. Mm-hmm. Can't really, although in high school I went to a party. That's totally off subject, kind of. But there was a huge credenza, and the owners, my friend's parents, they just carpeted around it rather than move it. So, because I was looking, I was like, why, the carpet's like peeling up right there. She goes, yeah, we just carpeted around that.
So, that's crazy.
Yeah. And speaking of carpet jobs, when I was a general manager of the moving company in Sacramento for a little while, that was when Arnold Schwarzenegger was governor, and he needed new carpet in his office, and so we got the job to move all of Arnold's desk and all that stuff out.
Right on.
And I opened up his desk drawer, you know, the main one in the middle, and I saw a stack of business cards with Arnold's name. And I thought, I don't want to get in any trouble. So I didn't even take a business card. That would have. But he had cigars in there, too. No surprise there. All right. So tell us the story about one of the disaster moves.
So years ago, probably 10, we landed a huge job. It was a month.
Wow. A month? How many guys?
At the max, we had about 18.
Wow.
And it was a multi-story. It was a scientific laboratory.
Okay.
And they wanted to take all of the scientific stations. So we had to cut them apart, disconnect them from the floor, disconnect the piping, and plus move all of their offices and boxes and back stock and racks. And even their cold room, we dismantled their cold room and moved it and re-erected it at the new site. The problem with the move was the owner kept changing the scope of the move. So then we would present him with the change order, and he would deny changing the scope of the move, saying, no, that's covered under the original bid. So we went back and forth several times. In fact, one time my business partner threatened to walk off the job. He was so mad at the guy. And then we finally got everything moved down to their new home in the South Bay, and we didn't even go back to pick up the final payment. He was that bad.
Wow.
It was horrible. I mean, I had my guys coming out of the building saying, I don't want to go in there again. Can I just take this stuff to the door and have somebody else run it in the rest of the way?
Does he just berate people?
Oh, yeah. Just a very full of himself person.
Right.
But probably had some narcissistic tendencies.
What? No.
You know, but... So it wasn't a ton that they owed us still, but we just said, heck with it, not worth it.
Man.
Because he didn't want to mail us the final payment, he wanted us to come pick it up.
Yeah, I can see why you would do that, because he was loaded for bear.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure there was some excuse coming, but we just said, forget it.
Right.
You know, the job paid well overall, so it wasn't a huge... Right. Financial setback for us not to get it. It was worth it to us to save the aggravation.
Right. Wow. That's just too bad that, you know, there are so many people like that.
99.9% of our clients, whether they're commercial or residential or international, are absolutely wonderful people.
Right.
I mean, they take care of our guys. They call us and say, hey, what's an appropriate tip? And we say, right, whatever you think is appropriate. Just don't give my guys alcohol as a tip.
Right. Hopefully you've not actually had to say that in a serious manner, but...
No, I actually have had a crew leader call me and say, the guy wants to tip us a couple of cases of beer. And I said, put them in the back of the truck, you know, and lock the back of the truck and drive home. And when you get back here, you guys can take the beer home with you.
Right. Right.
You know, I said, but you can't have it in the cab with you at all.
Right.
So
even unopened.
Even unopened. Yeah.
Right. Well, because there's a lot more strict rules for Class B and Class A drivers than there is for the normal.
All of ours are Class C. We don't run Class B or Class A at all.
Oh, okay.
It keeps our costs down by not having a big tractor trailer.
Okay.
And not having I have to join all of the federal government programs. And the expense of drivers nowadays, you know, they want $30-$35 an hour, and they don't want to do anything. They
right.
Drive the truck.
They
want to
drive
the
truck
job.
And then
yeah.
So smoke them if you got them while somebody else unloads it.
Yeah, so we decided to use straight trucks, and anybody can drive them. So that helps us a lot. They're smaller. They can get into a lot of places where other companies are going to have to charge you what's called a shuttle.
Right.
In other words, they take a pickup truck or whatever and load your stuff at the house and drive it down to the big truck where 90% of the time we can actually get to the house.
Right.
So it, like I said, keeps our costs down and it makes our flexibility on job sites a lot better.
So that's one of the things that probably most people don't know about your industry because they just don't think about it. What are some of the other things that you know about your industry that Joe Public wouldn't know?
Math in moving is extremely important. People ask me all the time. I'll go walk through the house with them, and they'll say, okay, well, how much? And I'll say, I don't know yet. I have to do the math. And they give me a look like, what? Like, well, everything you have in the moving industry, furniture-wise, has a cubic foot value to it. So I have to add up all of that and then times your total cubic feet by 7 pounds, because on a moving truck, the average weight per cubic foot is 7 pounds. So I tally it all up. If you have 1,000 cubic feet, that means you have 7,000 pounds, give or take a couple hundred pounds worth of items. So that tells me, okay, that's a one truck, three-man job, because my trucks will hold up to 10,000 pounds without being illegal overweight. And another thing is furniture in one house. You may buy a home with the exact same square footage, but the layout's different. So sometimes that armoire that was in the master bedroom can't go back in the master bedroom.
Oh, wow.
Because the hallway's too narrow and it or it's too low a ceiling. You can't tip it to get it in the doorway. You don't have a sliding door access from the backyard. And rarely do we pull windows out.
Oh, but you do occasionally.
If you have a contractor come over and do it, we'll put the stuff in through the window and then you have the contractor put the window back in. Wow. We're not licensed to do anything like that.
Yeah, that does remind me of the time that we had to move a piano, baby grand, and the only way we could get it out was to go out onto the balcony and lower it down 3 stories as opposed to carrying it down the stairs or in the elevator. So
Yeah. And that's very, very risky for you guys.
Yeah.
You know, the piano is just something material. It can be replaced. But you know, I would never even do that. I would say call a piano moving company.
right. Well, yeah, but just based on the architecture, the crane had to be rented, and that was, you know, crazy expensive. But sentimental value, I suppose, and just practicality. I don't live here anymore. I can't just leave this piano.
That's correct.
Yeah. In the room. So, so we talked about rogue movers. What are some of the other biggest challenges that your industry faces?
I would say, obviously, labor costs, fuel costs, insurance costs.
Yeah, and the fluctuation of fuel costs.
I feel sorry for a lot of my clients because I can't absorb that.
Right.
So, and like any business, if my fuel expense goes up, my fuel charge on the move goes up.
Right.
And, you know, we're set to have at least 2 more increases over the next year. So
right.
That's one of the negative sides.
Especially here, too, because I was listening to a talk show yesterday out of New York, $1.79
The national average is $2.62 right now.
Yeah.
I would kill to pay $2.62 for a gallon of diesel.
Right. And remember when diesel used to be less expensive per gallon, because in order to produce diesel fuel, there's less refining required compared to gasoline. So it would stand to reason that gasoline is going to be more expensive than diesel. But back in the late 70s with the gas crisis and all of the stuff that happened, and car manufacturers started putting out diesel vehicles, and then the oil companies said, oh, no, we're going to nip that in the bud.
Sure.
And I mean, it was always at least 25-30% 30 cents less per gallon, which back then probably was close to 30%, not 30 cents per gallon.
Right.
So
we all remember Dad driving across town to save 4 cents a gallon of gasoline when it was 19 cents a gallon.
Yeah. I do remember. I remember being able to find change in my seats to get me going for another 4 or 5 days in my beater car when I was in high school.
Yep.
So you didn't mention, you talked about labor as a problem, and certainly the rogue movers, and certainly workers' comp is, your industry is one of the highest workers' comp expenses. How have you been able to find such good employees? Because that was always a real challenge, to find reliable people that would show up and or people that you wouldn't mind having your company attire on their back and have them walk into somebody's home, lest they be, you know, tatted on their face and their neck and all, you know. It's a little bit disconcerting to some clients when they walk in and it's an obvious ex-con that is now in their house. But you didn't even mention that. So what's your secret to hiring good employees?
Well, a lot of the employees we have are vouched for by our current employees.
Okay.
Or we've had people that we had a father and both his sons working for us. He since passed away, but his oldest son still works for us.
Okay. And so referrals of your employees to get other employees, they understand, the current employees understand what the rules are, and so they're not going to refer somebody that they know is going to come back to cause problems for the company.
That's correct.
That's
correct.
And
we've had the tattooed guys. We've had the people with the prison background.
Right.
Two in particular, one guy was the most soft-spoken, and he told us all about his past, and he said, I just want an opportunity. And two other guys that worked for us currently were vouching for him. He was a great employee until he couldn't make it to work anymore. He was living in Sacramento.
Oh.
In fact, I've got five guys that live in Sacramento that drive down here to work for me.
Wow.
Every day.
Wow.
And we pay them well, and it more than compensates for the extra fuel cost to come down here.
Cliff Kielhorn, co-owner of K&J Moving and Storage. Great success story for a local company. Been in business for 20 years. Very well known and very well respected within the realtor community. He knows most all the realtors in town, and they refer him absolutely with no hesitation because they've done it before, and he always comes through. K&J Moving Company. Cliff, thanks for being here. Tell the folks who are listening how they might want to get in touch with you. And folks, before Cliff tells you this information, you may have no intention of moving. It's not going to be like, oh, you know what, this is great timing because I'm going to be moving in 2 months and this is perfect. Yeah, that's great. But if you're not, still take down this information and remember K&J Moving so that you can refer people now that you've gotten to know Cliff a little bit. Cliff, how do they get in touch with you?
Thanks for having me, Lee. It's a lot of fun. Okay, there's multiple ways. Obviously, www.kjmovingsystems.com. You can email us at kjmoving@live.com, or you can pick up the phone and call our office at 707-224-8200, and Amanda will be more than happy to take care of you.
All right. You heard it from Cliff himself. Call Amanda, make a friend in the moving business, and Cliff will take great care of you. Have a great Thanksgiving, Cliff.
Thanks, Lee. You do the same.
All right. Okay, moving right along, we are ready for our Napa Nugget. This is a little trivial thing that I put into every show. If you've heard some of the Napa Nuggets from past shows, you know that only 4% of all the California-grown grapes come from Napa Valley. It's not a huge volume, but it's the best of the best. That's one of the Napa Nuggets that I shared in the past. I also shared that there are 502 brick-and-mortar wineries in Napa County alone and over 1,100 brands. And 95% of all the Napa Valley wineries are family-owned. Interesting little nuggets. And today's is the wine industry in Napa Valley generates over 300,000 jobs throughout the U.S. Now, that's pretty impressive. It's our reach with our wine industry, not just here in the Valley, but all throughout the U.S., 300,000 jobs, all because of what we do right here in our Valley. So that is your Napa Nugget with a couple of repeats in there for today. So many of you know that I had a little contest running, and all you needed to do was see me on Facebook or respond to an email. That said, all you need to do is type in all things Napa. And so I had two winners, and the first winner was Danae Toronto, and the second winner that I'm announcing today is Nereida Elena. So congratulations to Danae and Nereida. You are the winners of Tastings 4-2 at Gabrielle Collection Plus O'Connell Family Wines, one of my favorite wineries, because their tasting experience is so unique in that they pair with popcorn. And I'm not talking movie popcorn. I'm talking artisan popcorn with lavender sea salt and lemon olive oil. There's another one where they toss the popcorn when it's hot with just a little bit of chocolate, so a little bit of chocolate sticks to the popcorn. And each one of the wines that they pour there is perfectly paired with a different popcorn. So congratulations to those two. I'll be getting you those certificates. And thank you to Gabrielle Collection Plus for sponsoring this little contest. Okay. There's a few other little things that I want to talk about today. One of them is worldwide. A couple weeks ago, I talked about billionaires and some interesting stats on billionaires. From a comparison standpoint, to a billionaire, a private jet, just a charter, a private jet, it's going to be about $8,000. Compared to the average income earner in the United States, it's equivalent to a subway ticket of about $2.75. That's the ratio difference of cost versus total net worth. Another example would be a Lamborghini at $200,000 is equivalent to a little tyke tricycle that costs $60. That's just mind-boggling to me. A billionaire could buy a private island for $100 million, but to a regular person, that's a down payment on a house of $30,000. So you know how difficult it is if you're trying to come up with $30,000 to savings so that you can put a down payment on a house. To a billionaire, it's like $100 million. Those are some of that I shared previously. And I was reading in Reuters.com, worldwide, the wealth of billionaires fell 4.3% in 2018. Oh, poor billionaires. They lost 4.3% of their value, or their net worth. And it fell all the way to $8.5 trillion. I'm tearing up a little bit here. Now, this is the first time that the ultra-rich have seen such a reduction since 2015. And the number of billionaires actually fell in every nation in the U.S., or in the world, except the U.S. The U.S. now still has 749 billionaires as of the end of 2018. Who knows, with the tech industry, maybe there's some more billionaires coming out of the woodwork here or in 2019. All right, I'm going to take a quick little break, but not a commercial break. I'm going to listen to some Weekend Youth. We had Weekend Youth here in the studio, and their music is so great. They're a local band, and I just thought we would play a little bit of their music. Here we go.
Trying to get out of this mess I'm in. I don't know where I'm going, but I know I've been. The signs keep throwing me off. Giving up on the person I've been. They never really brought me any pleasure or pain at all. Just stay the same. 'Cause it takes more. like I'm blindfolded, like the world's spinning, like I'm lost in the dark. Try to see through it, gotta keep moving, I feel it deep in my heart. I gotta be me.
Great. I just love those guys. They used to be Surfin' James. Now they're Weekend Youth. They're really coming out with some great music. And I am a big fan, and I want to support those guys. Again, they're local. And this is All Things Napa, and we support things that are local. One of the other little things I wanted to share, this was kind of a unbelievable scenario, but in a county in Michigan, it's Oakland County in Michigan. This is kind of real estate related too. Oakland County seized a man's home and sold it and pocketed the revenue after he underpaid his property taxes by, wait for it, $8.41. So he had a $60,000 three-bedroom home, 1,500 square feet in Southfield, Michigan as a rental property in 2011. And he made a mistake on his property tax payments, miscalculated the interest that he owed by $8.41, and a year later, his property was one of 11,000 properties that the Oakland County officials put up for auction thanks to Michigan's uniquely aggressive property tax statute. I can assure you that our friend John Tudor would never allow something like that to happen, but holy moly, can you imagine? So after the property is auctioned off, the county also gets to keep all the proceeds, and it's somewhat creating this perverse incentive for county officials to effectively steal from their own constituents. It just doesn't make any sense at all. Now, I know that there are many parts of Michigan that are still reeling from the great recession of yesteryear. Shoot, we're 11 years past that now, and there's many parts of Michigan that have not fully recovered. And yet, this is just not the right way to proceed. One Michigan County official, she emailed that she was tickled pink to have seized a $3.5 million property the day after the tax deadline passed. That is just wrong on so many levels. So I interesting little stuff like that, I just thought I would share that with you. So if you're a baby boomer like me, you're probably someone who has questioned the work ethic of some. We're not painting with a broad brush, but the millennials, many people over 40 have said, wow, you know, it's difficult to find good employees these days. There's a sense of entitlement oftentimes. My friend Gwen Bassett, owner of Dickie's Barbecue here in town, she's been on this show. We fully support Dickie's Barbecue, and Gwen, she, in frustration, just the other day on Facebook, posted how young people are setting appointments for a job interview, saying that they want the job and they're going to come in, please hire me, in the appointment setting stage. And then when it actually comes time for the appointment, they don't even show up, and they don't even have the professionalism to call or email and say, thanks anyway, I found another job. And all of that background is basically because there's this new put-down comment that the teens and the 20-somethings of today, and that's probably not even millennials, I don't know where the line is drawn for millennials versus Gen Y and Gen X, and seems like there's way too short of a period of time to define a generation. But the teens and the 20-somethings have created this endlessly repeated retort to the problem of older people who just don't get it. They think that they're doing just fine, and so they've come up with this phrase, okay, boomer. So if you ever criticize a teen or an early 20s individual nowadays, don't be surprised if you are responded to with, okay, boomer. It's just not something that I take offense to. You know, they're trying to make it a rallying cry for millions of fed up kids that are disgusted that baby boomers are leaving them, a world plagued by climate change and mounting debt and unaffordable housing and income inequality. And so if you're over 50, you're probably going to hear, okay, boomer, if you say anything. But let's be sure that we educate those teens and 20-somethings as to, you know, you don't really have an opportunity to whine that much because, you know, you're saying that we're leaving you with all these problems, but we also, if you study history, you know that we are the most socially and environmentally conscious generation that America has ever known. We transformed the society that our parents left us by championing feminism, civil rights, gay rights, even the environmental movement. That's all from the boomers. We even invented the digital world and the gadgets that you teenagers and 20-somethings probably couldn't get out of bed without having that. So go ahead, call us okay, boomers, and look down your nose at us. But we've left you with some problems, and I don't think that it was our doing. Certainly no malice, but we left you a lot of great things as well. So just kind of keep that in mind. Yeah, the phrase, okay, boomers, is kind of cool because it's so brief, but I'm not offended. So, okay, what's everyone doing for Thanksgiving? Are you traveling? Are you traveling by air? If you're traveling by air, you're probably listening to this either on the podcast. You can listen to that at 1440.com. Or excuse me, 1440 AM for the live broadcast or KVON.com for the podcast. Lee W. Miller here, wrapping up another episode of All Things Napa. I wish for you the most wonderful non-family drama Thanksgiving that I can possibly wish for you. And remember, live your life every day as if your legacy matters because it does. Have a great long weekend. We'll be back next week.